It's been a busy day on the JSE Securities Exchange today, not in terms of volume, which was only 15.4 billion, but in terms of corporate news and activity. It's been a fantastic start to the new week. On the telephone now is Greg Davies, the chief trader at Kratos Capital, and this is the 5 o'clock shadow. Greg, let me break with tradition and give you the numbers, because the numbers are very important. The JSE today looked like this. Banks down 2.9%, financials down 2%, industrial shares 1.8% weaker, retailers nearly 4% down. Resources down slightly, gold shares down 3.8%, platinum stocks up 2.5%, hello Impala, the all share itself 53,392, down 1% on value traded, as I said earlier, $15.4 billion. Dollar rand slightly weaker, 13.40, British pound against the rand 17.54, euro rand 15.33, and the euro dollar 114.35. Gold has slipped by $5. Down to 13.12. Platinum has slipped by $5, down to $8.20 per ounce. The oil price down $1.52, 2.5% to $61.42. That's Brent crude in London. The Dow Jones, as the JSE closed, down a third. FTSE in London down 0.2%. Big day on the JSE today, Greg. Before we get to the corporate news, the specific things coming across the Stock Exchange News Service, why were the banks down and the financials down so heavily?
Got a slightly sort of left brain thinking kind of reasoning myself, and I may be well off, but you know, obviously we've discussed the PIC and what's happened there on Friday with the board stepping down. But normally you would expect new money coming into the market at the beginning of February, and I'm theorizing that perhaps they've put a hold on all the investing that they would normally be doing this time of the week or the month. And just the fact that they've paused, you know, stopped pressing that buy button, I think it's pulled away some of the bids in the market. These algos can sense that there's no bids, and so they'll go on the offer side. But yeah, that's all I could really come up with. I mean, there's no real
that's
particular reason. Yeah, I mean, I've put it out to a few of my big traders here, and they're saying, yeah, it's theoretically possible. Speaking to a few people that normally get orders from them, they say they've got nothing on Friday, nothing today. So it might be something to it.
I've said to a couple of commentators today, both on air and off air, the PIC story is absolutely massive. And if Tito and Buoni, and I know Tito not well, but we've crossed swords in the past, he is going to go in there and he's going to have a complete overhaul of this place. He's going to say, right, you don't do anything now. You're not going to buy these stocks. You're not going to sell those ones. Just don't do anything until the new board is in place. Your investment philosophy is going to be under scrutiny. You've obviously got to keep going, but on the other hand, you can't be as expansive as you have been. I think there's a massive opportunity for a massive overhaul of a massive, massive fund manager. And I think your theory is absolutely correct, Greg.
Yeah, I mean, what may be a little bit troubling is almost you could see an attempt at a coup there, really. That if the, you know, somebody with some political influence then removes the board and puts some, I'm not saying captured, but people with like-minded thinking in a place, you could capture the PIC. And I mean, that's 2 trillion rands worth of investment potential. So I think it's going to be a power struggle there. I think Tito's the man for the job, but we can watch with interest.
Yes, we'll watch with interest. And we watched with interest this morning as the JSE opened. And in fact, before that, when the SENS announcement started to fly across our screen, Clover, first of all, Clover, it's a milk company. And it hasn't been on the exchange for that long. It's been quite fun to talk to the CEO. And they've done good deals with farmers. And suddenly a company called Milko, the originally named Milko, coming in and taking it out. Give us more details, please.
Yeah, it's something that has been rumored in the market for some time. And I mean, towards the end of December, when this rumor started to go out, even sort of beginning of December, it was trading sort of 17, 18 rand. And obviously, it was under cautionary. So the market can't say it was too surprised by this announcement. You know, once the cautionary is out, then you know talks are on. But the number surprised, really, 25 rand. I had a couple of my analysts do the numbers, and they're saying that's on the high end of the range, which they thought it would go for. Share finishing today up 15% to 23. So at the moment, it's just a firm intention, but obviously details will still have to be hammered out.
Do you think it's going to be one of those stories where a few agitated shareholders say, well, let's dance around a little bit. If they're willing to offer 25 as their first opening bid, then they can probably go to 27.50. Will it be like that, or they'll just say take it or leave it? Brimstone involved here, of course.
I think they're going to say take it. I mean, just as you're saying, the share was well below 20 rand most of last year. So, I mean, you know, you're sitting 18, 19 rand, suddenly you got 25 rand after a tough year in 2018. Maybe I'm just too negative, but I would have just said, just bank the 25 and let's move on.
Yeah, quite right. And talking about banking things, Greg, Impala Platinum, this is one that you've loved for ages. It's been in a 10-year bear market. Do you remember earlier on I was saying, what's been the share price history? And you gave me 133 rand, the high in November 2013. You know, it was above 300 rand at one stage. It went down, it lost 95% of its value, went down to 16 rand per share, a 95% fall for a massive company that essentially has a monopoly in platinum group metals. What a story.
Really is. And you know what? It's always been a love affair from my side. Not so much love coming back from Impala until the last couple of months. Really doing much better. So a good trading update. Made over 2 billion in 6 months. A lot of it's cost cutting, closing, selling off older shafts and what have you. So the potential for these things to be turned around. We should look at some of the other miners that have been battling. I think they'll look at Impala and say, you know, maybe we can do something similar. So the share finishing today at 41 rand 82.
Very good indeed. If you can get some of that action and you're erudite enough to buy the thing at 16, 17 or 20 or even 25 to see it at 42, what do you do now, Greg, in that sort of situation? Let's say that you were lucky enough to have doubled your money on Impala Platinum now. Do you say, well, look at where it has been in the past? Do you say, no, I'll take the 100% increase? Or do you say, no, I'm looking for a 5 or 10 bagger?
Yeah, I think you say the 5 or 10. I mean, we were looking earlier. In 2013, the share was at 130 rand. Look, I know the platinum price is a long way down. But that's the one thing which makes resource counters different from banks and retailers. They can do these 5 bagger moves. It's not that uncommon in these type of things. These things are cyclical. And if a cycle turns in their favor, you know, and they've gone lean and mean on costs, that share price could continue to climb.
MTN, this is one of my least favorite shares, not because it's for any financial reason, just because of the whiff of scandal that always surrounds it. Tell me about MTN. Trading update came out today, Greg.
Yeah, a lot of debate. We're debating with a few guys on Twitter over the situation. So they came out at 11:15. It's actually about a week late. We were expecting it last week, Monday, with a trading statement. It doesn't really give enough detail. It says they expect the earnings to be up at least 20%, but they don't give a top end of the range. The forecast was for 215% because obviously this year they don't have the fine, which they had the corresponding period. And then initially the share moved quite strongly up to 89.20 and then retraced back to its and finished the day down 2.5%, 85.86. And the discussion goes around, there's a sense announcement which really doesn't tell us anything that we couldn't have probably assumed anyway. So there's no more clarity. Towards the end of the sense announcement, it does say that they will give a further trading statement will be issued on the sense once the company obtains a reasonable degree of certainty as to the likelihood of a range within the HEPS and the EPS expected to be finalized. So I think even they're admitting that there's nothing really in the sense announcement. The big thing I think for MTN this week is there's a court case in Nigeria around about $2 billion of alleged tax that's not paid. So that's what the market's hoping for, but it just shows you the risk that in MTN was never really priced in for its businesses in Nigeria. Now the market is pricing that risk in.
Interesting one. What would you do with it? What would you do with the share that's fallen from 200 plus? What was the high on this one? Give us an idea of from where we have come and where we are now.
About October 2014, it was about 260 rand.
There you go. And now
so
what?
It really collapsed. You had the initial Nigerian situation from a year or so ago. It fell from 150 rand down to 90. Then it recovered into the sort of 110 to 120 range. And then Nigeria Part 2, the sequel came out, and that knocked it back down to 69. It finished today at 85. But I'm like a moth to a flame with this one. You know, it's because it has been such a good dividend payer. You know, they've got a competitive sort of advantage in Nigeria. They've got 61 million subscribers. I keep on finding myself buying it, really.
Okay, great. You must occasionally let go of these things. You do know that. I mean, you go to psychologists and psychiatrists and things. Occasionally let go of these things and start afresh. Pay and the pain goes away.
It's awareness, acceptance and growth. I'm not getting out of it.
Let's move on, if we can, Greg, to Anglo Gold Ashanti. They came out with the trading update today. Did the share price do anything?
It actually did do something. It actually was down 5%, down 9.65, finished at 180.34. But I think that's more to do with the gold price, which has come down quite a bit in the last sort of two trading days, sort of Friday and today. Gold back at 13.13 after sort of being around 13.30 at the peak of last week. So sort of sentiment driving it, really.
Okay, elsewhere on the market on a fairly low volume day, but a really high news day. What else did we see? I see Itel-Tar. We spoke about that last week. It's becoming my Lex Luthor, this thing, because I don't trade it, and I don't trade anything, in fact. But the share price at one stage was down about 12%. I think closed around about 8% weaker. What on earth is going on with that thing?
Yes, it's again a situation of very thin volume. So we are talking about it every day, because if it closes up on thin volume, then it's on the top five up, and then vice versa. So today, I mean, just to illustrate the point, it is trading at the low today of 13.91, but just in the closing auction, someone bought 1,600 shares at 14.29. Mm-hmm. So we're having a discussion about 600,000 rands worth of shares which traded today.
Yeah, very boring indeed. I won't mention it again. Mr. Price, though, more important, and Truworths more important because of the volume and because of the size of the businesses. Mr. Price down 5.25%, Truworths down 5.2%. Not good news for the retailers after a sort of stabilization after the trading update story.
Yeah, it looked like the worst of the Mr. Price selling had happened. And I'm going to have to stick to my PIC theory on this. They're not on the bid. But it really is extraordinary the way Mr. Price has traded down today, down 5.2%. It was just starting to recover. I mean, the other one which made a lot of headlines last week was ShopRite. That gave up 3% as well. So it's not just those two counters. That space was down 3.9%, as you said in the introduction.
Here we are pre-recording this interview, Greg, and the all-share top 40 futures are just about to close over 1% weaker. It's been a steady erosion of value all day, 47,300 plus. What do you think now? Do you think that the little bit of the sort of January bounce back after the December debacle is now over and we can look forward to a finicky February?
Yeah, it's difficult to say. You're quite right. The way the selling took place today was more of a meltdown, a sort of stealth sell-off where, it's a couple of points. I'm sure we'll rally from here. We did actually go green at the opening. But slowly, more and more selling sort of spread to the banks, the financials, and it just sort of melted down in the end. The thing which I'm keeping a close eye on is the currency. It's currently 13.40. But I think as long as it sort of can stay this side of 13.50, that indicates foreign money coming into our bond market, but perhaps some of that will spill over into the equity market, and that will buoy the market. But I suppose one gets negative on a Sunday night. I was giving good think, and it's just you try to come up for reasons for equity markets to be driven high here locally, and it's tough without good trading updates behind them. It's going to be difficult.
Brilliant stuff, Greg. That's Greg Davies, chief trader at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. Back same time tomorrow night.